Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 26th, 2007. This week, we'll tell you about species that work together and others that just can't seem to get along. We'll also answer a listener's question about cell phones and your health. But first, if you ask your kids to turn down the TV while you're doing your taxes, be careful. You might make more mistakes if you can barely hear it at all. This according to Boston University psychologist Takeo Watanabe and his colleagues. They asked volunteers to work on a simple computer task while distracting dots darted around on the screen. And the volunteers performed worst when the distractions were too small to consciously notice. Brain imaging studies show that these subliminal distractions mostly bypass the prefrontal cortex, which filters out irrelevant information, and went straight to the brain's visual centers.
As a result, the motion was processed and resulted in disrupting the task performance more greatly.
So muting distractions without eliminating them may actually hurt productivity. And speaking of distractions, Chelsea Wald has the answer to a listener's question about cell phones and other wireless gadgets.
Listener Amy Rothstein of Waltham, Massachusetts, wrote to ask if there are any health effects of the waves coming from our wireless devices. Well, Amy, scientists don't think there should be any, and so far they haven't found any. For example, Joachim Schütz of the Institute of Cancer Epidemiology in Denmark recently failed to find a connection between cell phones and cancer in a large study.
I think our study is reassuring in a way that at least there does not seem to be a substantial risk due to the use of mobile phones.
But he adds there are open questions like the effects on children and frequent cell phone users, and whether the waves could cause headaches or poor sleep. Studies are underway. And don't forget, if you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or visit scienceupdate.com. If we use it, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, nature has some very sophisticated self-cleaning mechanisms, according to researchers at Georgia Institute of Technology. They looked at lotus leaves and found that although they look smooth, they're covered with microscopic structures that keep dirt from sticking. They also have a waxy coating that makes water bead up and a tilted surface, so each morning, dewdrops roll across each leaf, mopping up the loose particles of dirt. The scientists hope to copy this engineering trick to make self-cleaning solar panels. And speaking of solar energy, scientists at the Max Planck Institute have found a way to combine low-energy colors of light like green into beams of higher-energy blue light. The discovery could lead to solar cells that get more electricity from the same amount of sunlight. Next, necessity can make some pretty strange bedfellows, even among fish. Justin Warner has this story.
By all rights, moray eels and grouper fish should be enemies since they compete for the same prey. But now scientists have extensively documented them hunting together in the Red Sea. According to behavioral ecologist Redwan Bishari of the University of Neuchâtel in Switzerland, a grouper will actually invite a moray eel to a joint hunt with a distinctive head shake. What's remarkable is that the two species normally hunt on completely different schedules.
Moray eels are not active during the day, usually, so they might stick their head out of a crevice and have a look around. And so the grouper has to visit the moray eel and signal its desire to hunt with the moray eel. And only if the moray eel is hungry, then the moray eel will come out of the crevice and off they go together.
Once they've found a spot, each fish does what it does best. The grouper hunts in the open water while the eel wriggles into the crevices of coral reefs.
And if you have both predators at the same place at the same time, then the prey has a problem. It's not safe in the open because there's the grouper, and it's not safe in the reef because there's the moray eel.
And as a result, a grouper can catch up to 5 times as many fish as it would get on its own. Because eels normally hunt at night, their solo success rate isn't known, but they tend to get about as many fish as the grouper during a joint daytime hunt. Although the behavior has been observed in the past by both scientists and divers, Bishari's study marks the first time it's been thoroughly quantified. Otherwise, this sort of cooperative, communication-dependent joint hunting has been seen only in mammals and birds, and even then only among members of the same species, with the obvious exception of humans hunting with animals like dogs. The findings suggest either that fish may be more socially sophisticated than we thought, or that coordinated hunting doesn't require the brain power we might have assumed it did.
Thanks, Justin. Well, not all species can get along quite so well as that, but it's surprising how underhanded even a tree can be. Chelsea has this story.
It's not as sensational as lions hunting gazelles or orcas catching seals, but the red squirrel and the white spruce are locked in an epic battle over seeds. Scientists thought the tree had found a winning tactic: starve the squirrels of seeds for several years and then produce a bumper crop just when its enemies' numbers are low. But ecologist Stan Booten of the University of Alberta says even that wasn't enough.
The squirrel has countered this strategy, we found, by actually anticipating when the trees are going to produce the big amounts of seed and producing another litter of babies to take advantage of that upcoming seed. So in some ways, the squirrels have produced a counter-strike against this strategy by the trees.
And as in all great epics, the protagonist's downfall is of his own making. Booten says the tree may inadvertently reveal its intentions to the squirrel through the hormones in its buds.
Thanks, Chelsea. Remember, if you're in the San Francisco area, come to the San Francisco Hilton on February 17th and 18th for AAAS's free and very cool Family Science Days. Chelsea and I will be there from 11 to noon, collecting your science questions and passing out free Science Update mugs to podcast listeners. To get a free mug, you must take one of us aside and say the password, "Why is it?" As a bonus, you'll also get to meet the hosts of the popular show Mythbusters and the folks from the Exploratorium. You can learn more about Family Science Days and the AAAS annual meeting at AAAS.org. We hope to see you there. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about why we have an appendix. In the meantime, visit us at www.scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirsch for AAAS, the Science Society.